This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's crazy because, as you said, 4 points all from the free throw line. And then you're like, okay, well, what else did he do? Well, he had a rebound. One. 27 minutes of action, he had one rebound. But he all and two assists. He also had two steals, and he had a block. One of those steals was an absolute huge one down stretch. Yeah. And so this is where we get to, I think. And I'm only going to use this because, boy, here we go. Everybody can get all going. But I use this as a comparison piece because this is the kind of thing that I think happens where the fan base can get a little bit upset at what's happening with rotations and decisions on the court because they'll look at a box score and be like, why is Moses Moody starting and getting more minutes than someone like a Jonathan Kuminga, who did get 25? He got the most minutes off the bench.
Yeah, by a decent chunk.
Yeah, by a decent chunk. But still, like, why Moody and not Kuminga? Kuminga had 16 points. Moody had zero field goals. But it's what you just said. It's what you just said. And the reason I said that Kuminga, I thought, had a little bit of an uncomfortable night last night is not because we've arrived at a spot where we now need to suddenly judge his reintegration. It's five games in. I still think they're trying to figure things out. And I'd also add, any time a lead dog has to leave the court, it's kind of like when the Niners lose Debo in the middle of a football game. It's like, well, crap, that's your game plan. That's everything you practiced, and now you've got to do a fire drill and do something different. It's very, very challenging. And so that's what I saw in the fourth quarter of the game last night with the Warriors. They were able to grind it out. But the part that is uncomfortable for me in watching Kuminga, because he had good quarters and bad quarters last night.
He was good in the second quarter.
Second quarter was phenomenal. First quarter, not so much. Second half, very meh. But the problem is not the numbers or the output. The problem is the style of play. And the bottom line is right now when I watch the ball get to Jonathan Kuminga's hands, it gets sticky. It gets sticky, and the offense stops. And Jonathan is not always very decisive. It's like, dude, if you're going to go to the hole, go to the hole. But if should we pass it? Should we drive? What do we want to do? And all it does is take those 3 seconds, and Warrior basketball has stopped. It's grinded to a halt. the ball movement is not happening anymore, and all of a sudden, those offensive possessions seem to get really loose and really unproductive really fast.
Yeah. I have thoughts, but you want to sneak in the
I sure do.
That thing?
I want to say that you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, unless, of course, we do what we did yesterday. Had a great time, by the way, wanted to mention it again, at Splash at Thrive City, which was brought to you by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. It is always a great time out at Splash.
That was a lot of fun yesterday.
Yeah, really good.
No
really
doubt.
Good. It got loud there at the end.
Yeah.
That was a lively night.
We walked in there, and they were like around 4 o'clock is when we expected to really get busy, and they were spot on.
They were right.
They were spot on. I think yesterday, last night, was like a great example of how Kuminga needs to go about offense for the Warriors. And I know you're focusing on maybe after Steph went out and kind of the sticky nature of the ball once it got in his hands and it kind of stopped the ball movement and it got a little stagnant. I think the first quarter and the second quarter are like all Kuminga needs to look at in terms of tape to figure out how he needs to play things. Because the first quarter was, I'm going to take a contested three. I am going to drive but not really gain an advantage and try to throw up a wild shot. And I'm going to go, I don't have it in front of me, I'm going to go maybe like 1-for-5 from the field in the first quarter, and I'm not even going to hit rim on a couple. I'm going to try to draw a foul, but didn't get the call. I'm going to throw my hands up and be late getting back on defense. Like, that was, the first quarter was a disaster. It was really, really bad. The second quarter, it was more within the flow. It was getting out in transition. Ken played that highlight coming back from break. Like, last hour, it was the and one where you were saying couldn't it be Steph because he got a whistle. It was Kuminga in transition, finishing at the rim. I believe that came in the second quarter. He was so much more under control and more selective when the ball was in his hands and more willing to, all right, I don't have an advantage here. I'm going to pass it, set a screen, whatever. Second quarter was so much more smooth. And I think there's like a disconnect when we say we want someone to be aggressive. Like, because that, in my mind, aggressive is just like, every time I get the ball, I'm going to try to shoot. Like, no, that's not what it is. When you have the advantage, be aggressive. But when you don't have the advantage, like, just work within the framework of the offense.
Yeah.
First quarter, second quarter, like, it was two opposite ends of the spectrum for me. In the second half, you're right, wasn't great either. It was better than the first quarter,
yeah, it was
but
fine.
Nowhere near as good as the second quarter.
I mean, I say this next comment with love, but Jonathan Kuminga right now with the ball in his hands kind of looks like Kevin Durant in free agency. It's just like, dude, you're searching, and I'm not sure you know exactly what it is you want to do. So you're trying different things each time in the hopes that that might be it, but you're not really defined with what you're going for. And I don't really feel that with a lot of the other players on the Warriors. They're not as talented as he is, but when he gets the ball, it just looks like there's a thought bubble right next to him. And it's kind of like, what am I supposed to do right now? Am I, like, they need me to score. They need me to be aggressive. Am I supposed to do that? Even if it's not there, should I force it and spin and try to create something, or am I supposed to keep the ball moving? And I'm almost at this point where I'm like, I don't care which it is, just be more definitive, be more decisive, go do it. You know what I mean? This team, this organization does a wonderful job, as stated, of being like, be you. Remember that bite we played from Draymond to Podziemski when he came on the air on Wednesday?
Yeah.
And he's like, we do not care about your missed shots.
We do not care.
We do. This is the one thing we don't care about. What we care about is all of the other things that you do on the court. Be in the right place at the right time, make good decisions, be decisive, and go for it.
Don't let your makes or misses impact the other things.
And Jonathan is that kind of player. Like, there are going to be nights where that shot is falling, and there are going to be nights where it's not. He's not a great shooter, but he's also not like a putrid one.
No.
But it's just like...
He was really shooting the three ball well before he got hurt.
Right.
Like, really well.
Really well.
And the reason was because he was more selective. And he was taking the open corner threes. The in-rhythm ones. And he wasn't just hoisting to hoist. And it was... It was like the... Sometimes less is more. And for him at the three-point line, that is 100% true. Like, just take the in-rhythm open ones specifically in the corner. When he does anything beyond that from the outside, it's not going to end well for the most part.
Doc Pandya joins us in about 8 minutes. In about 4 minutes, we'll do the YouTube-only soiree, if you want to call it. It'll just be a few minutes.
Fancy.
But get on over to YouTube, and we'll talk directly to you, answer any questions you have, or fight you, which is probably what will happen. But let's go to Fossey in the East Bay. Hey, Fossey, thanks for calling. You're on with Mark and Mark.
Yeah, what's up, boys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
Look, enjoy the conversation about JK, but I really wanted to talk about this guy, Quentin Post.
Okay.
This kid, man, he's impressed me a lot, man. Look, he's out there balling, playing with guys who to me are absolute maniacs, and Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler. I mean, those guys, man, they're alpha males. And he's out there holding his own, man. He's knocking down shots. He went for, 6 for 9 from three-point range. He's stretching the floor for us, giving Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green some space down there. Man, this guy, man, he's only 22 years old, man. He's from, I don't know where he's from, but he's in a brand-new world over here in the NBA, man, and he's doing his thing, man. So shout-out to him, man. He's doing absolutely great. And good luck on everybody's brackets. I hope everybody's doing better than me.
Fossey, who'd you have?
Man, I picked San Diego yesterday against Michigan. Yeah, hey, look, Tyler McGuy.
But that's just
shout
one.
Shout-out to that guy. He's great.
Yeah, Fossey, you're okay. You lost one game. Would you have him go in the Final Four or something?
No, I didn't. But also, Colorado beat Memphis today. So, yeah, busted all the way. So, yeah, thanks for taking my calls, man. Everybody have a good weekend. Cheers, boys.
You too,
Appreciate
Fossey.
It, Fossey.
If you lose two first-round games, that's not a busted bracket. I'm not
99%
sure.
Of people get at least two wrong in the first round.
Like, unless you're talking about those million-dollar challenges where you're like, I didn't get a perfect bracket again. That's never going to happen ever to the ever. Like, we will die before somebody gets a perfect bracket.
Yeah.
That's
the
never
odds
gonna
of that
happen.
Happening are...
I'm surprised these websites haven't changed it now to be like, we'll give you $1 billion if you get it right. Just to get people to drive traffic, because it's never going to happen.
I'm at the point where you pick all the picks and you have a champion that says, in order to qualify for the prize, you need to enter in all your information so Allstate can get it. I'm like...
I'm out.
I'm not filling this out. I'm not giving you my email and my phone number.
Dude,
Allstate.
I would actually, you know what? I'd love to get some sort of a analytics, math, numbers person and find out what's more likely, hitting the Mega Millions or filling out a perfect bracket.
Oh, I read something this week where it was you're more likely to win the lottery like 5 times in a row than have a perfect bracket.
There you go. And you are literally never going to win the lottery.
Let alone 5 times in a row.
5 times more likely than perfect bracket is just absurd.
Really quick, something that Fozzie said. Well, first of all, I agree about Quentin Post. The dude is an absolute madman. He is, though, older than 22. In fact, he turned 25 today.
Did he really?
So happy birthday to Quentin Post. Yeah, he's 25.
Like the oldest rookie in the history of the NBA.
That's what happens when you spend six plus years in college.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's from the Netherlands. Amsterdam, to be specific.
He can shoot a three, but the reason he started pumping up the crowd after Steph's injury was partially because of Steph's injury, but it was also because he had just had that block shot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Quentin Post, to me, this is an easy puzzle. I don't know if he's got it in him, but if he just becomes a passable defensive player... He can be a real difference maker in this league.
Yeah.
But right now, Quentin is like, he's a three-point shooter, and he's a three-point shooter. Like, he's a real problem with a lot of matchups on defense, especially Bulldogs like Aaron Gordon. You watched it. They pulled him off the floor. They couldn't keep him out there anymore. And so I'm sure that's what they're working with him on constantly right now. If they can turn him into a passable defensive player, he's going to be a big deal in this league.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let me ask you this. Yeah. You're talking about Kuminga and a little concern from you. I think a lot of Warrior fans, and I know we got Doc coming up next, so we can get into this a little bit later. Do you think the Curry absence might be a good thing for Kuminga? Because I think it might allow him to try to get into a little bit of a rhythm, because he's going to be needed more. Without Curry, even if the option's only a couple of games.
I don't know that I can answer yet that it's a good or a bad thing. It's a pivotal thing. Because it could go either way. I don't know yet how it's going to go.
Fair.
I think it creates more shots for him. It's going to create more opportunity. But if they don't go in, then, or if he keeps getting slow back on defense, then you're going to start seeing a whole lot more Moses Moody than you already are. 888-957-9570. We keep taking your calls. Emergency Pandia is coming up next.
And get to YouTube.
Get to YouTube. We're going to do the darn thing. But Doc Pandia on Steph Curry is coming up next. Grandy's in for dibs on Willard and Dibs.
Get down. Quickly passes to Barnes. Barnes, the main man for the Raptors. They double him immediately. Ball thrown out to Shedd. Shedd accelerates by Pajemski to the rim. Blocked by Butler. Butler saves the ball to Hield. With 16 seconds, Raptors have to foul, and they foul Butler in the backcourt. Jimmy Butler has saved the day.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
This was funny, and I want to know what a moment like this is like for our next guest. Joining us on the River Islands guest line, as all guests on 95.7 The Game do, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? How many text messages, Doc Pandia, do you get when Steph Curry falls on the floor? And did any of them come in before mine? That's what I want to know.
Mark, you were the first one.
Yes!
You are absolutely the first one. Yes, number one.
Good job.
Johnny on the spot. That's what I was going for. I was sitting right next to Grandy, and we looked at each other, and he's like, probably emergency Pandia. And I'm like, right now.
I'm on it.
Right now. Click, swipe, Doc, what's going on? Send. So what do you think, Doc? Because what you said back to me was you don't think that this is too bad. But what's your overall thought?
Yeah, I agree. I still think this is going to be a relatively short time missed for him. I mean, obviously, when you see that play and everyone's hearing the noise, you're like, oh, did he break something? Especially with the back issue. That was my first concern was, you know, did he aggravate that back? And that's going to be a several week long thing. But then you see him get up, you see him kind of holding at his tailbone. I think all things considered, this is probably very minor. I think the best thing for Steph, you know, because it's generally this contusion is very similar to kind of what he dealt with in 2021. He knows what to deal with. The Warriors know how this impacts a basketball player because it's not very common. So I think they rest him, maybe rest him a little bit more because he's been dealing with this fatigue. And I think this may actually be a blessing in disguise come a week or two from now.
Do you think this is something where perhaps it's more just a pain tolerance thing than anything? And I know Steph's put up with a decent amount of pain. Do you think maybe that's part of the reason why this might be a shorter absence than maybe we initially feared?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think when, you know, they got that MRI, the concern was, you know, is there any kind of fracture there? Is there any kind of major muscle or tendon damage? And they hear the MRI comes back clean. So really, essentially, it's just a matter of inflammation and discomfort. And because this isn't a knee, it's not an ankle, it's really an area that if you can tolerate discomfort and you can play comfortably, particularly with, you know, can you be aggressive and not worry about falling? And are you not having discomfort in your muscles when you're doing stuff? You can absolutely play. So I think for Curry, the advantage of having had something like this before is really the most beneficial part because he knows what's normal pain, how he can play, like how much impact can he take. So I think all things considered, this is the best case scenario for the Warriors after that fall.
Doc, you know the cadence of this stuff, and there's no bigger Warrior fan than you. So what do you make of the fact that they've already announced that he's flying to join the team in Miami Monday and will be reevaluated that day? That news says what to you?
That tells me that they're thinking it's pretty minor as well, too. I think the history of the Warriors has been overly cautious, which is good. The fact that they have such a quick turnaround with these reevaluations, I think in general, when you're concerned about how an athlete's going to respond to an injury, you usually say, look, let's give it 7 to 10 days because it's too painful. Then we can get a better sense of how you are. The fact that it's a 2 to 3 day turnaround and they're having him fly makes me expect that potentially Miami or that New Orleans game, you're going to see him play. That quick turnaround, particularly for the Warriors who are super cautious, it really indicates to me that this is pretty minor. And if this were potentially a playoff game, he may have actually come back in and tried to play. So I think that those are all positive things that you see moving forward.
How do you, as you know, someone on the medical side of it, try to balance the what's best for the individual athlete versus what's best for the team? Because while this isn't a postseason game and they're not in the middle of the playoffs, one loss here and there can be the difference in being the sixth seed or being in the play-in. So how do you, as someone on the medical side of things, try to balance that? You don't want to obviously rush someone back, but every single one of these games is vitally important.
Yeah, I think what you really have to take into consideration with this is, like, what's the risk of potentially him coming back and causing a more severe injury? Or is it simply going to be an issue of, is it just going to be more painful? And I think with a knee or with an ankle, you're like, look, this could potentially be catastrophic if something goes wrong. But with this area, you can push the limit a little bit of saying, hey, we need to win a couple games. You might be a little bit more uncomfortable, but we're not leading to long-term issues. So I think you really do balance what's the worst-case scenario. With this injury, there really is no worst-case scenario unless he's, you know, doing some kind of weird compensation because of the discomfort. So at that point, you're like, look, you can have a little pain. It may last a little bit longer. Let's maybe get you back sooner than if this were a knee or an ankle where this could be a career-changing injury. This is more of an annoyance more than anything else.
Doc Pandya with us here on Willard and Dibs with Grandy in for Dibs. Doc, what about this? And by the way, very much appreciate you having my back earlier this week when...
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you actually listened to an entire conversation on the radio and got the context and the concept of what was going on with this Steph Curry emotional wellness day, I don't want you to predict gloom and doom, but when you look at what three 35-plus-year-old men are trying to do down the stretch here and the physical and mental toll that it takes to go through the playoffs, how realistic are we all being with our optimism that the Warriors are headed somewhere in the playoffs?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, I think, you know, you don't see many examples of this if you look at NBA history over the past 30, 40 years where a team is basically anchored by a couple older players who are essentially fighting for a higher playoff spot, and then you finally battle through it and get there, and then you've got this huge journey ahead of you. And where I think this can work from a physical standpoint is if the younger players do take a lot of that load and overperform, such that, you know, Jimmy and Draymond and Steph can have less of a load and then be fresh for the playoffs.
But you're absolutely right. Like, if you're already talking about fatigue and worried about players making it through the regular season, playoff basketball is intense. It's a very physical game. They're going to be playing at a high speed, high level. And you got players who already have a lot of wear and tear on them. So I definitely think that it's absolutely possible. There's great skill. The question is, can these younger players take the physical load off the three of them so that when we get to the end of the playoffs, they're healthy and ready to be able to compete and play 35, 38, 39 minutes, in a big game.
All right. So to kind of summarize, you're thinking maybe this is likely not, based on their behavior, not terribly serious, range of motion thing, and maybe best guess, just a guess, is probably Friday in New Orleans. Is that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think so. I think that plus the fact they're probably going to build in a little extra rest for him just with everything that he's kind of dealing with. So yeah, I think New Orleans would be good. Have him acclimate to the flight. I mean, it's a silly thing, but one of the things you have to worry about is when you sit on that area that's contused, it's probably going to be sore coming off a flight across the country. So yep. New Orleans gives them time to acclimate. And yeah, I think that would be good, and they can kind of give them some additional rest for the back and the knees as well, too.
Doc, we always appreciate your availability, and even more so, I love being your number one freak-out texter.
Yeah, after you, Mark, I put the phone on Do Not Disturb. It's
okay.
All you. It's
yep. All you, Mark. There it is. All right. Thanks, Doc. Thank you.
No problem. Take care, guys.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Doc.
There he goes. Doc Pandya. I do. Dude, I'm like, Steph hasn't even hit the floor yet, and I'm already texting the guy. I'm like, what's going on? What do you see?
Doc,
what do you
please. See? I'm scared. Help me.
Yeah. And he fired right back. He's like, I'm available after 3, and I don't think this is that bad. I'm like, okay.
That's all I need to know. Thank you, Doc.
Yep.
Keep it moving.
If memory serves, as soon as that text came in, I just moved my phone right across the table to you.
You did.
I'm like, take a look at that. I'm like, we're all right. Yeah. Although, we're also guessing, but to me, there's two things that I take from what we saw and heard last night. A, they openly admitted, because always remember this, they don't have to tell us everything. The fact that they admitted that Steph wanted to come back in the game and decided to share that publicly and then immediately said today, MRI's clean, he's not going to be on the plane today, but he will join the team in Miami on Monday, and the reevaluation happens immediately then. I think they're sending out the thought that this is not very concerning.
Yeah.
Now, the other side to that, though, is that this can feel concerning to the fans in much less time than that. Here's what I mean by that. You can sit here and say, oh, this isn't much of a concern. How do you feel if they lose tomorrow night?
Oh, yeah, then it gets real.
They struggle to score and lose in Atlanta, which is not a far-fetched concept at all.
They're a little under 500. They're going to make the play-in in the East.
They score. They're a horrible defensive team, but they will score.
Dyson Daniels might win Defensive Player of the Year, though.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Great.
He's a hell of a defender, but everybody
absolutely.
Else on that team, not so much.
Yeah. I wonder, just out of curiosity, because, and I know sometimes this makes people go, oh my gosh, this guy's a gambling degenerate. Sometimes I like to just get a sense of what the world at large sort of thinks about a game. I'm going to try to see, do we have tomorrow's games up yet? I don't see them.
I'd imagine the Warriors would be favored by 3.5.
Tomorrow feels like a weird one. It just feels like a weird one.
I mean, Warriors are 7-3 without Steph this year.
Yeah.
And really, last night was a win without Steph. They were down when Steph got hurt, and they won that game. And I heard Steiny saying this, and I agree with him. So really, you could call that 7-3 more like 8-3. They won that game without Steph. And they are, and a lot of those wins, Willard. A lot of this.
What if Steph had missed the whole game, and they were in the exact same moment? They were, they were down by 12 instead of being down by 5. Like, in other words, Steph contributed to where they were in
that
game.
Sure.
Without him, they may have been already out of it.
But they were better without him than they were with him in that game.
Not really a fair comparison, because the fourth quarter is when certain players start trying harder.
Sure. Okay. What? 7-3.
But yes. Go ahead.
The point still stands. 7-3 without Steph this year. And this is not me saying at all that they're better without Steph than they are with Steph. Only a crazy person would say that. But a lot of those wins came before Jimmy Butler got here, crazily enough.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee was the first game that Steph missed since Jimmy Butler debuted. Like,
yeah,
all of those other wins came before Jimmy Butler got here. And now this Warrior team is more equipped to win without Steph than they were before. Why can't they continue playing well without Steph?
They can. They absolutely can. On certain nights, I think that becomes more about basketball. And on certain nights, it becomes a little bit more of an emotional thing. Very impressed that they were able to grind that out in a game. There's no business and no room for them to lose that game last night, even with Steph out. And so I know what the vibe was. You and I were there. The vibe in the building as you're watching that thing the whole time is, oh, the Warriors are like messing around with the Raptors a little bit. Raptors are hot. They're hitting their shots. But what was the lead at halftime? Like six?
Yeah,
sitting there going, okay, maybe they're going to sleepwalk through this one a little bit, but they're going to win.
Yeah.
They're going to win. And then it wasn't until Steph gets hurt and you're down by five where all of a sudden you're like, hold on a second. Is this actually a problem?
Well, the environment was really weird. Right. You felt that it was sleepy. Crowd wasn't into it. It was like, oh, they can't even put this team away. What's going on here? Those pesky little Raptors.
I think it was a classic and predictable sort of a vibe based on where they had been. It's the end of the homestand. You feel like you've achieved what you wanted to achieve. You had three glitzy opponents come in New York, Denver, and Milwaukee. You went 2-1, which was the hope. Steph, even though it was weird, because it didn't play out the way you thought it would, but 2-1 is what you were hoping for. Steph got an emotional break. And I walked into that one like, all right, whatever. Win this game and get the road trip started. That was kind of the vibe. And then even when they're up six at half, you're like, look, they kind of feel the same way we do. Like, you're going three-quarter speed. And then the next thing you know, in a blink of an eye, he's laid out on the floor and you're losing and it's getting late. And there were a couple moments in that fourth quarter where you're like, oh my God, are you actually going to lose this game? So I give them all the credit in the world for doing that when they didn't know that they were going to have to play without Steph. Now, tomorrow, you know. There's like, you can game plan for, we're going to play without Steph. But I don't know which way the emotional side goes. Like, that can be a little bit of a deflator. I'm happy that it's happening early in a road trip rather than late. But, you know, sometimes when your star goes out, like, you don't have time for it to hit you in the belly that night because you're like, we're here, we're in the middle of a game. Maybe today it hit him in the belly a little bit. Like, we're on the plane, Steph's not here. That doesn't feel good, I wouldn't think.
Well, Steve told you guys on Wednesday about the game on Tuesday where they beat the Bucks without Steph, and you guys asked, I don't know exactly what the question was, but he essentially said winning a game like that without Steph can actually, or playing without Steph, can actually prove to be a positive for your team because you could have an experience like you did on Tuesday,
sure,
and then you get to a point down the road, maybe it's in the postseason or maybe it's in a big regular season game like last night, where you say, Steph's down or he's out for the fourth quarter and this is a tight game, we have to win without him, and you can think back to what happened Tuesday against Milwaukee when you did it without him for the entire game. And I asked Steve about that last night. I said, did what happened Tuesday help you, give you confidence once Steph went down? And he answered the question and said, honestly, I don't think any of us were thinking about Tuesday. We're just thinking about what was going on right there. So that's what you're talking about. Like, you're just so focused, laser focused on what's happening in front of you. You don't have time to even think about anything else.
Yeah, and I don't think, like, you know, I know crisis of confidence was a phrase for this team earlier this year. I don't even think it's possible anymore. You know what I mean? Like, Jimmy Butler's here. And
that's how he answered the question. Yeah. He said, well, we're confident because of Jimmy.
Yeah. Like, there's not going to be any room for that. And there's no way you could look at the Warrior roster right now and be like, ooh, they don't have enough to win a basketball game. Of course they do. Like, yes, they're down their star. But then go to the next beat and look at the lineup that goes out on the floor and ask yourself, okay, do they have enough? Is there enough firepower? That's the kind of, to me, the only question. Like, if you got into some sort of a high-paced scoring, high-scoring game with the Atlanta Hawks, do you have the firepower to stay in that? Probably not. Your job is to go out there and make sure the game doesn't become that. Like, the Warriors now probably want to play a little bit slower.
They can't afford to play defense like they did the first three quarters last night.
No.
Although defense in the fourth quarter last night, from the 7:30 mark of the fourth quarter on, the Raptors scored 9 points. And three of those nine were on that banked-in three in the final minute when the Raptors were just clinging to life barely. So really, in normal basketball action, the Warriors allowed 6 points over the course of 7 minutes down the stretch. That's what won them the game, and that's how they're going to have to win a game or two without Steph.
Here's the Steve Kerr comment that you're referencing with regard to the idea of the star, and in this case, Steph, missing a game here and there.
In many ways, it's a good thing for the team. I learned this from Greg Popovich. It forces the rest of the guys to step up. It forces guys to focus. It also prepares you for a game later on, maybe, where, Steph gets injured in the playoffs. You got to win a game. Well, hey, we did this before. We beat Milwaukee without him. You want to see your team respond to different types of adversity. It's no different from Denver the night before. Jokic, Murray, they take the night off, the team wins, they feel stronger for it. These moments can strengthen a team, and I think a lot of coaches around the league recognize that.
Okay, I mean, talk about being prophetic. I mean, he says this on Wednesday. On Thursday, Steph gets hurt. On Saturday, you're in Atlanta, and you got to do exactly what you're talking about right there.
Yeah. But I also think what he said at the very beginning was it could be a good thing because it forces other people to step up. And that's why I asked you the question before we had Doc on. Do you think that Steph's absence, even if it is a very short one, could ultimately prove to be a good thing for Jonathan Kuminga? Because I kind of feel like right now he's hanging out in this limbo area where he's trying to exert himself, but he doesn't have the leeway all the time to do it. He doesn't have the freedom to play through a mistake. When the Warriors now, without Steph, they're going to need scoring from somewhere. It feels like he has a little bit more freedom to just go out there and play free and maybe make a mistake and know that he's not going to get yanked as a result.
And minutes restriction has already been moved, if there is one. There isn't any more. 25 minutes last night. In other words, I think that they feel he's fully healthy. Is he fully integrated? Probably not. He's still feeling his way as he gets back to what Steve Kerr called a brand new team. And I think that at 22 years old, Jonathan Kuminga often feels like he's still kind of like checking things out and press that button. Oh, that didn't work. Press this button. Ooh, that did. Like, he's still that kind of a player. So is it a good thing or a bad thing? I don't want this to sound like a cop-out. It's TBD based on the results. In theory, it's a good thing in terms of opportunity. I do think that more shots now come his way and a little bit more responsibility comes his way.
And he's generally been better when more has been asked of him.
That is correct. However, I also think because of that, not that the hook will come quicker, but more is going to be asked of him, and therefore, if it doesn't go the way they want it to go, they will very quickly pivot. They will pivot to the other options out there that are less dynamic, but sometimes maybe more reliable across the board, to the point you made about someone like Moses Moody.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing about the Moody and Kuminga conversation is Moody's at a spot like last night where he gives you nothing offensively and he's still a positive and he's still going to play. The reverse is not yet true for Kuminga. He has the ability to be a good defender. He just hasn't quite put it all together yet. So if Kuminga is struggling offensively, he doesn't have that extra added other way to stay on the floor. Because he's not impacting the game defensively the way Moody has been. So there's that much more pressure on Kuminga on offense to be good and to be effective and to be efficient. Because he knows if that part of his game isn't working, he's not going to stay on the floor. Moody has kind of the freedom to be like, okay, I want to make my shots, obviously, and if I miss them, I miss an open one, that's frustrating, but I'm going to lock in on defense because I know I'm going to stay on the floor that way.
I mean, we get to test everybody's points that we heard them make this week. We had all those people, and it felt like they kind of wanted to just half step into this point. They're like, oh, I don't want to be the person to say this, but I kind of feel more confident when the Warriors have Jimmy and no Steph, as opposed to when they have Steph and no Jimmy. Well,
we're about to find out.
Get to put that to the test. I mean, are you feeling better just tomorrow night? If you could swap in Steph for Jimmy, would you?
Yes.
Okay, you would.
I would. But it's probably not the reason you think. Steph absolutely loves playing in Atlanta. He always goes off in Atlanta.
Wow. Is that because he wants to show Trae Young who the actual Steph Curry
Maybe.
Is?
I think last year in Atlanta he scored 60, if you remember, in an overtime loss.
Was that the case? Yeah. Oh, I do remember that one? Game. I do.
If you look at points per game by arena, State Farm, yeah, whatever it is in Atlanta, is like one of his highest scoring arenas.
Along with Madison Square Garden, I have no doubt.
Orlando's one. Miami is actually also one.
Oh, good. Well, then this will be a great trip, except for he's not going to play in those games. So, anyway.
Not guaranteed. About Miami.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Okay, here's something we can play with. And so really want to focus in our last hour plus on you at 888-957-9570. You get to kind of like choose your own adventure here and lead the way.
Whoa.
I think that's a fun thing we can play with, which is if you could swap out Jimmy for Steph tomorrow night in Atlanta, would you? So we can get to that. However, for the next 15 minutes or so, we wanted to play with something. We're very aware that the Warriors are, like, they've been all-encompassing lately. We have been so focused on Golden State Warrior basketball. You've been so focused on Golden State Warriors basketball.
For good reason. Hottest team in the league.
Meantime, the tournament is happening. 49er free agency has freaked everybody out. And in 6 days, the Giants have a game that counts.
6 days.
Any take that you have that's not Warrior related, your Macklin Celebrini take, any take that you have that's in your hip pocket.
San Jose Earthquakes just kicked off.
Right? St. Mary's is going all the way. Any take you have that's not Warrior-related, and you've been holding it, let's create just a little window for that, and we would love to hear from you. Because I got a few. I know you got a few. Mm-hmm. 888-957-9570. We will take your calls right now. Anything non-Warrior related that you've been wanting to get off your chest. Steven Rizzotto is freaking out, big Giants guy in the next room. He wants to tell you all about Jung-Hoo Lee. 888.
Is his back okay?
I don't know. 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls on that. Coming up next, Grandy is in for Dibs, and it is Willard and Dibs.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
They really do. You lost me money yesterday. I wanted to go with him, and so I did. Thankfully, we hit a quick parlay at the end of the night to win back most of what we lost.
There you go.
But not all of it. So, Dibs, your picks stink and you're drunk, which is a bad combo. Because I don't even know. Yeah, like, I don't even know if you're... Maybe you're just, like, telling me the pick wrong.
Well, you know he had that instance earlier in the week in the first four game where his system had it lined up perfectly, and he went against his system, and he lost.
Yeah, and he couldn't explain it. And that was when he was still sober. So when I heard him last night, I'm like, dude, I'm not listening to that guy anymore, right? He can't even complete a sentence. Why would I take a pick from him? And then, on my way to work today, you know, we shouted him out earlier, run into Gene in the streets, and he wants to dap it up, take a picture, loves the show, loves the whole station, and then right as I'm walking away, he goes, oh, by the way, tell Dibs his picks suck. And that's a direct quote. He didn't say your picks stink. He said they suck. That's stronger.
That's worse than stink.
That is worse.
Sure.
They do.
out of here with that.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, we're playing around with it a little bit here. Look, it's Friday. Let's have some fun. We got a lot of Warrior stuff still ahead. March Madness has moved to the next sort of regime here of the evening. Arizona is on the court.
Come on, Akron.
Yeah, an Oregon fan.
Let's go Zips.
I totally think this is bad juju that you're doing this, because it's like you're jumping to the next, and you got to worry about you first. You got to worry about your own. Don't be worried about Akron.
It's already 9.
He's already down by 9. They're not even 2 minutes into the game.
Akron, come on.
What do you want from the Zips? They're a 13 seed.
Don't get embarrassed.
Well, that's what they're there to do. Yeah. They're there to be food. 13, 14, 15, and 16 seeds.
Oh, but 12 is fine.
Yeah, for some reason, something happens at 12. And they're just like, yeah, we're a 1.5-point underdog. Like, we're just as good as you.
And Liberty's a 12 against my seed Oregon Ducks.
Anyway.
Not worried.
Wanted to throw out there that with all of our Warrior talk over the last few weeks, maybe there's some other jams that y'all wanted to get in there. So for a few minutes, anything, any take you've got, anything you've got that's not Warrior-related, Let's go, and we'll take your calls, 888-957-9570, like Elliot in the city. Hi, Elliot. What's up?
Hey, guys. I'm wondering what you guys think the direction is for the Giants, because way I see it, they're just doing the same thing they do every year, where they get a few players that get fans a little excited, but it's probably just going to be another 500 season. And especially with, like, the Dodgers in our division, we're not even close to being contenders for even the division, and definitely not a World Series. And I think we're kind of turning into the Steelers or the Kings of the MLB, where we're just always mediocre and don't really have a direction, don't have great young players. So I'm just curious what you guys think. Like, what is the direction moving forward, and what is the goal for this season?
Well, I tell you what I think is I feel a hell of a lot more depressed than I did 45 seconds ago. Man, come on, Elliot. What happened to Hope Springs Eternal? Where's this coming from? Like, first of all, it's not... And Elliot, thank you. Thank you very much for calling. This is not news. They're not as good as the Dodgers. Join every other team in baseball.
Or the Padres.
They're not... Yeah, they're not as good
probably
as them
not
either.
The Diamondbacks either.
Go Dodgers.
Dibs.
I put it this way. To me, and this is just the way my brain works, like, I don't think you can start off a season that way. Here's what I'll pass along to you. Is the Giants roster now some sort of a world-beating roster? Clearly not. But I will tell you that those inside the organization are walking around about 6 inches above ground as compared to how they felt the last few years with the regime change. Part of that is Buster Posey, but it's not just a figurehead. It goes deeper than that. It really does. From a baseball perspective, every former player who I talk to who has gone to spring tells you fundamentals got lost in the last 3 or 4 years, and they're back. And Buster has a very, very clear direction of how he wants that team to play baseball, and that is filtering down already, and you're going to see, they think, a team that plays a much cleaner brand of baseball, both on the base paths and in the field and all of that. But then we go to the thing that has been the thing that we've talked about so much with the Niners and Warriors at the beginning of their seasons recently, and the word is vibes. And the vibes from everyone I know who's been to Arizona, and I'd even say this for those of us who have been over here to Oracle Park for, like, front office stuff, the vibes are very different. That might only carry you 4 games into the season. I don't know. But the vibes are very, very different. And then if you care about this, they have, like, the best record of any team in spring training.
Oh, please.
I said if.
You had me until the end.
I said if.
I threw out
a menu, and you can order whatever you want.
I'm not ordering that last part.
You can order vibes, you can order fundamentals, or you can order fake games.
I mean, it's all kind of wishy-washy crap anyway.
Yeah.
I think I hear you in terms of the vibes and the positive attitude and it being compared to the last regime. That, to me, says more about the last regime than what's currently going on. And I think That's fair. Also says more about the promise of the future as opposed to what's about to happen on the baseball field this year. Now, what I will say is I think that, and maybe to Elliot's point, because I feel a lot of what Elliot is saying right there, I think the easy way to kind of reframe your mindset, and it's not easy to do and it's not fun because you're kind of giving in to maybe another kind of mediocre year, it's you have to think of this season as like square one, like as the building block. And like the last like 4, 5, 6 years, all of the Farhan era kind of felt like the building block, and you never really got past the building block other than that one crazy season when they won 107 games or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But that was an anomaly and it was an outlier. Everything else was terrible or right around 500. You never were like, you could never see the consistent progress. And as a result, it's hard to look at this season as like the beginning, but that's what it is. And I think
you
fast forward 2 years from now, 3 years from now, and you'll be able to be like, oh, we could kind of see the beginning, and you could see kind of turn, and this is the beginning of it. It doesn't mean that this year is going to be great. I'm not expecting them to win 90 games, but I think you'll be able to tell that it's improving a little bit. But that's hard to do when you're asking that of a fan base that's been used to 500 ball for years now.
100%. But I also, this is just the way I start seasons. I look at it in terms of like, let's see it. Let's see it. Because maybe it will be a special season.
Maybe.
I'm not expecting anything. Here's what I'm looking for. I'm not even looking for, like, beat the Dodgers. I mean, my God. They're obviously a problem.
They're already a game up.
Exactly. But, you know, I look at it this way. Are you going to play good baseball? And are you going to be interesting? And are you going to be entertaining? I'm going to start there. Like, are you just going to be a good baseball team? That's kind of my view for the first couple months. I don't even mean the whole season. I want you to come out and play good baseball. And you know,
it's,
like,
it's sad that that is the
well, be a good baseball team.
The bar that
yeah, just
clear.
Be a good baseball team. Be don't be a frustrating baseball team. And then you see where you go. Are you blessed with health and all those questions that every team has to face? And if you're blessed with health and a couple things go your way and a couple of the guys you look at where you're like, are they going to have a good season or a bad season? If you get a couple of good answers there, then sure, it could be a playoff team. I don't think they're going to win the division, but I don't think being a playoff team in baseball is out of the question at all.
Maybe not.
And that would be great. Rich in Fremont is next up. Hi, Rich. Thanks for calling. What's up?
What's up, guy? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
I want to deliver this hot take to you guys. Brock Purdy, 5-year deal, $62 million with $35 million guaranteed. And the reason why I say this is because the brain trust of the 49ers know that the most important position on the football field is the quarterback. Okay, and we see the way Dallas took care of Dak, and we see some of these other quarterbacks around the league, they're getting paid.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.